Well, here we are, brethren. We find ourselves on this kind of cold and dreary. Well, it started warm this morning, but, you know, we're at that time of year, that winter time, that time when everything seems to be just dreary. I remember living in Michigan. It was tough because it seemed we'd go for a whole month with no sunshine. Just every day would be cloudy and no sun to shine, and it wears on you after a while. I know I wanted to see the sun. I wanted to see that brightness out there. It was uplifting. It made you feel better once you saw that sun and saw it, you know, warm you up. And it also reminded me that it's coming to springtime. When we'd start to see that sun and it start to warm up, and we'd realize that, you know, springtime is coming. A reminder of a new year, a reminder of another year in God's plan. You see, because God has this plan, brethren, that every year we continue to celebrate. Every year we continue to follow His plan, to know and to follow His holy days and what they mean for us. And so we see that as that spring approaches, as we see that weather change and that sun come out, and the sky becoming more sunny day to day, and the flowers start to bloom and the grass start to grow, and we realize another year is moving forward. But the only thing about that is so frustrating is that all of this happens, and yet here we are still living in a world that's controlled by Satan. Let's turn to Ephesians 2 and verse 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 2 will start today. Because it's difficult, brethren. We go through all these things and we go through God's plan and we see all these things. We're changing and following, and here we are. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. In which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. This is where we are at. We are trying to come out of this world, brethren. We are trying to come out of living as Satan, as the prince of the power of the air, tries to deceive us, try to keep us in the darkness, try to keep us in an area and away from God's way of life. Everything we hear or see on an electric device nowadays comes from the air. There isn't anything we watch or listen to, unless it's at a live event, unless you're somewhere where there's a live event, but everything else comes through the air. And we've gotten so used to these conveniences that we take them for granted. We have phones now that have Bluetooth on them and Wi-Fi, and we can take pictures and video and do almost anything. They're like a mini computer in our hand. And we were sitting a week ago at the house, and I can't remember if it was a Saturday night or what time it was, but there we all sat, my son, his wife, Noreen, myself, his four kids, and Noreen made the comment. She goes, look at us. Every one of us is either on an iPhone or on an iPad or something. We've become so engrossed and so attached to these things that they occupy a lot of our life. We find reasons and ways to continue to use them. And Satan has to be just loving how easy it's become for him to transmit through the air and to reach out to each and every one of us. The things of this world, instead of the culture of being true Christians, instead of trying to fill our minds with God's way and God's laws, it's so much easier to just zone out and allow something else in front of us to take that time. So many non-important cares of this world to distract us and keep our own wants and desires as our focus, instead of knowing and following the plan of God. These are the things, brethren, that Satan just loves to be able to show us and to keep us in that darkness. I would bet that all of us at one time or another have gone through a period where we felt we kind of let down. Maybe we backslid a little bit. Maybe we didn't. We realized within ourselves that we had let something go that we shouldn't have. We had slowed on our prayer and our fasting and our Bible study, and we had allowed too many other things to take away our time, to take us back to living a way of life maybe before God called us. Projects began to take up more of our time, whether they're work-related, whether they're occupying, just things that occupy your time, and you find yourself working more and more hours, and then the hours become later, and then morning comes sooner because you're getting to bed later and you're getting up earlier and work, and all these things continue to pile up until you realize that the time you would have normally spent praying and studying with God has been changed, has been now occupied by things of the world. And it's so easy for it to happen to all of us. Like I said, so many things we can take for granted because we have so much around us that is inspired and directed and guided by Satan. There's a reason, brethren, that God says he is the prince of the power of the air. He controls everything around us. We have to fight that. Well, how do we do that, brethren? How do we do that? How do we spend time staying close to God and our family and the brethren? How do we have the right and proper relationships? Because, brethren, Satan wants us to lose that. He wants nothing better than to see us fail, to see us fall away from what God has called us to, to see us walk down the path from whence he has called us from. Satan wants us to go the other direction. Let's turn to Ephesians 6, verse 12, back just a couple pages. Ephesians 6 and verse 12, and it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Brethren, that's what we're fighting against. That's what we have to fight against every day. The fact that Satan is here in the darkness and wants to draw us back to that darkness, back to the world and back to the ways of the world. He permeates the air with so many options to take up our time and allow the cares of this world to stress us out, to occupy our time. But brethren, we cannot run from the light that God has provided to us. We can't forget what we are fighting for. God has provided us with help to come out of the darkness and into the light, to keep our minds focused and to embrace the light that God has prepared for us. Let's look at the book of John. John chapter 3 and verse 21. Okay. My notes are here, but something's not here that I was expecting, and I don't know where it went. I will admit, this morning when I was trying to print this off, my printer would only print half the page. It would skip the first paragraph and then print after that, and I don't know why. So I tried to fill that in, and I must have missed a spot, but that's okay. Let's go to John chapter 3 and verse 21. That's where we wanted to start. John chapter 3 and verse 21. It says, "But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." Brethren, when I read this passage, it resonates clearly with me that many are afraid of the light. Now, what am I talking about, being afraid of the light? Well, see, in my mind, brethren, that light that we have, that light that is within us, is God's Holy Spirit. It is a light that shines within us that we use to light our path, to light our way, to direct us in the way we need to go. Without having the light in us, we can't see things clearly. You know, it's just like getting up in the morning. You know, if you get up in the morning and the sun hasn't risen yet, and the room's a little bit dark still, everything looks perfect, right? Everything looks great in that room. You look around, everything's in its place, or so it seems, until you either turn on a light or the sun starts to come up, and then you realize, well, it's not as organized, as perfect as I thought. You see the dust on the dresser, and you see the pile of clothes you left on the floor the night before, and the shoes over by the door, and in my house, you see the dog laying on the pillow that he pulled off the bed because his bed wasn't good enough. So, you know, we go through these things. We see this. We see things as the light becomes brighter. We see things that weren't as clear in the darkness. And when Satan tries to keep us in that darkness, it's because he doesn't want us to see things clearly. But we're fortunate, brethren, because God has called us and he gives us his Holy Spirit to light our path. So what do we do with that? What do we do with that light? How do we incorporate that light in each of us? We have to understand that everything around us becomes so much sharper in the light. And it's that light that helps us to see inside us. The light helps us to see the ugliness that's in us. And it's there because we are human. We have the spirit of the flesh, yet we are striving and committed to the process of changing and being converted to the Spirit of God. See, that's what's our responsibility. That's what we're supposed to be trying to do, where we're changing, where we go through as we are converted, as God has given us His Holy Spirit, we are making changes in our life. Changes to get rid of the darkness, the ugliness, that part of ourselves that's not God-like. And we do that through a long process of conversion. Coming into the light shows how dirty and cluttered and a mess we are. When you compare the fruits of God's Spirit to the fruits of the flesh, we are really, most of us would like to think that we have more of the fruits of the Spirit. But unfortunately, some of us probably have more of the fruits of the flesh in us. And God exposes that to us. That's His love for us. He exposes that to us and shows us the things that are very personal in us, things that we need to see that God helps us to see so we can change. You know when you're lying? You know when you're cheating, stealing, when you're angry, when you hate, when you're jealous, and many other human traits that we want to hide and keep others from seeing. But God sees all of them. He sees those things in us that we need to change. He can point those out to us if we look to God and we use the light that He's provided for us through His Spirit to see and acknowledge those things. But we have to do it, brethren. We can't just turn our back and go back into the darkness that's of this world. Back into the darkness that Satan wants to pull us to occupy our mind, to occupy our time, to change us, to keep us back where we're not looking forward into God's Word. You know, years ago, I worked at a company up in Michigan. And I worked with a guy that was a difficult boss. And part of his being difficult was he was, trying to think of the word for it, he was bipolar. So what he would do is, one day he would come into my office and he would be joyful, he would be happy, he would be telling me how great things are going, how he loved what I'm doing, how my work is excellent, how he just, everything is perfect and life is great, and hey, you want to do this, you want to do that, and we were friends. And the next day I'd get a phone call where there were so many swear words in the phone call that you couldn't even function. He would completely flip into a different person and a different attitude and would start berating everything I did. Everything he praised the day before, he would now berate and tell me how terrible I was. And it was so bad that it got to a point where I would go to the feast. And here I am in a different town, but I still had that phone, unfortunately. And he would call it, and he would call it, and he would call it, and I would ignore it because I didn't want to talk to him. And then I would get message after message after message. And the messages would say, "You better call me back now." Think about that. You're trying to be at feast. You're trying to enjoy the atmosphere. You're trying to be with God's people. And in this instrument of just anger would continue to come back to me until I had to call him back. It would just ruin my feast for the first few days. It was usually the first 3 or 4 days where he was grappling with the fact that I was going to be gone for 2 weeks, where he would really be the angriest. And then after the first few days of just lighting me up the best he could, and then he would calm down and just accept the fact that when I'd say, look, it'll be there when I get back. I'll fix it if I have to. It's not an issue. I'll see you in 10 days. And then try and put it away. And then the next 2 or 3 days of the feast, I would try and calm down and you know, breathe out and let that anger and emotion leave to where I could concentrate back on keeping the feast and doing the things that God had shown us to do and given us the opportunity to do and being with the brethren and having peace in my life. But it was difficult to do that for the first few days. And it happened every year. I knew when I left what to expect. I knew it was coming. And it was so frustrating. Satan just would reach out and grab that and pull me back and say, ha ha, you thought you got away from him. He's still right here on your phone. You didn't get away from nothing. And that's the way he still is with each of us every day. He still can reach out and touch us and pull us right back if we aren't constantly looking to the light and letting the light of God's Spirit lead us into the way of life we're to be living. It's so easy for him to do it. He is the prince of the power of the air. He has control of everything that goes on around you. Everything. Everything. So you have to ask yourself, brethren, are you going to allow that to continue to stir you up? Or are you going to seek instead the light? When the light is turned on, when God opens our mind to see our flaws, how weak and human we are as we live in Satan's world, it can be a very scary reality show for each of us. Think about it. The things that God can show you within you that you see that are wrong, when he shows that to you and you realize, whew, I got some changing to do. I got something I got to get rid of. It's there and we each have to deal with it. What that light exposes us to. We remember, brethren, John 3:21 tells us, we who do the truth, we are looking to change and learn how to imitate Christ. The light that comes from Christ shows us our deeds clearly. We start towards the light when we finally realize we have no other option but to come out of the darkness. That's our only option. We're not here with multiple options, brethren. We only have one. We have to leave the darkness behind us. And the only way we can do that is to absorb the light of God's Holy Spirit that he's put within us. To live by it. To use it daily to guide our lives, our decisions, the way we talk to one another, the actions that we do. Let's turn to Psalms 119 and verse 105. Psalm 119 and verse 105. This makes it very clear for us, brethren. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word is our light, given to us through his Holy Spirit. Our journey to conversion begins with God lighting our path through his word. Let's turn back to John 8 and verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Another familiar verse, brethren, but an important one for us. John 8, verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. How much clearer can Christ make it for us? He is the light. His Spirit living in us, guiding, directing, teaching us, is that light. Do we get it? Are we getting it yet, brethren? Are we understanding it? Do we understand that it's not just the light of God's way lighting our path? It's got to be a light that starts in here. His Holy Spirit in here working with us, teaching us, leading us, keeping us on the right path. A way of seeing and doing things, like following God's commandments, like keeping the Sabbath today, keeping the holy days, the feasts, making a conscious decision to live differently on a daily basis. A way of seeing even when there isn't any light. Because we go through those periods as well. You know, it always amazed me in Genesis 1, where it talks about, and I've mentioned this before, where it talks in the first few scriptures that God divided the darkness into light. Let's go there. Let's go there real quick. Genesis 1, verse 3. Bible, hopefully it'll stay together and I get to that page. Uh-oh. Oh, there it is. hang on, it's here. Just a little apart there. Okay. Genesis 1, verse 3. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and morning were the first day. Okay, so God had light and darkness and called it the first day. But then, it wasn't until verse 14, let's go over there, it says, "Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens, divide the day from the night, and let them be there for signs and seasons, for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, we know as the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night, that we know as the moon. He made the stars also. So God created, in verse 3, light and darkness with no sun or moon. He didn't do that until later on, a couple days later. So how did that work? How did he have light and dark with no sun and moon? What lit that time? What was the light that was there? Well, the only light that was there was God. He was the light, as he always is. He's the one that lights our path. He's what makes the difference in us, brethren. God's way for us is that light, the strength and power that comes from the knowledge of his ways and having his Spirit living and working through and in us. Is the light that can never be quenched. We have many examples of God's light being the way of overcoming darkness, and it becomes even more apparent for us when Christ comes to earth as a man. We read John 3. Let's go back to John 3 and begin in verse 16. Back to John 3 and verse 16. Verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Verse 18, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." The light, brethren, we are searching and reaching towards the light of God's truth. His Spirit, his Holy Spirit living in us. We can't be afraid to walk in righteousness. God's way of life requires we come out of the darkness, no matter how difficult we think it might be. The light of God's truth must be brighter in us today than it was yesterday. Think about that, brethren. Every day we have to be improving. It's the only option, because if we're not going forward, we're going backwards. And we can't be doing that and be a part of God's family. We have to move forward. That light has to shine brighter in us every day. A way of seeing things that becomes clearer the closer we get to God. When we are walking in the darkness and stumble, it's because the light is not in us. I'm not going to turn there right now, but if you want to write down John 11 and verse 9 and 10, it says just that. If we do not have the light in us, we will stumble in the darkness. Christ has been the light in this world from the time of Adam to the time he walked on this earth to today. His way of truth and love for our brother is a light that keeps us from stumbling around the world. We must walk in the light to have fellowship with one another. Eight years ago, we went to the feast in Italy. And when we were there, there was a man that gave out a pen. And the pen had a light in it. And you could click on the top and the light would light up. And everybody in the room had these pens. They're all holding them up and all this light in the room. And it always stuck with me, the thought. Now, I know in his message, he was talking about being a light to the world. And that pen he was using as an example for us to be a light to the world. But brethren, I want you to think deeper than that today. I want you to understand that the light is not just being a light to the world. It's being a light that's within you. A light that comes from God's Holy Spirit that guides and leads and teaches you everything you need to know to be a part of God's family. So why would you want to be afraid of that light? Why would you want to run from that light? Why would you not want that light to permeate you and to expand how you think and look at things? Because that's the character of Satan. Because that's the darkness that we live in that wants to constantly pull us back into the wrong way of life. The thing we have to fight. Let's turn to John 15. Back a few pages. John 15 and begin in verse 4. John 15 verse 4. It says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." If we can find a way to have the light of God through His Spirit abide in us, then God has promised we will have whatever our heart desires. It begins a different way of thinking in us when we know that that light is there, the true light of God's Spirit. Let's turn back to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and begin in verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to begin in verse 8. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret." Verse 13, "But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light." Do we still know how to walk as children, brethren, with the sweetness of a child? Children have an almost unnerving ability to trust anyone. They are able to forgive, to love openly. They can embrace those things without any holding back. Can we do that? Can we embrace the light that comes from God that lights our path? Can we embrace that and trust in that in the way that Christ does? In the way that children do, excuse me. In the way that children are able to trust. Can we? We have to be able to see the darkness within us so we can ask God to help us remove it from our minds. Not because any of us are special in any way to deserve it. We all know that. But through God's grace, we are given the chance to change. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. Back a few pages, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Laboring daily, brethren, to keep God's light shining in us, that is one of our requirements. If we fail to do so, we are told we are going to have to live up to those consequences also. If we're not willing to change, there will be consequences for that. The point of coming out of the darkness is the only point. There isn't another option. We have to make that choice. You know, I've grown up in the church. I've been in the church my entire life. It's all I've ever known. And yet I look at myself sometimes and say, in honesty, you're not as far as you should be. And we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest and know that we all can still grow and change and move forward. We all still have a bit of that darkness to get rid of. Let's turn now to Galatians 5 and verse 19. Galatians 5 and verse 19. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." That last sentence, brethren, tells us, Christ tells us about the fruits of the flesh, that if we have any of those things, we will not be in his kingdom. Desiring to be in his kingdom, to be a part of God's family, should be the number one priority in our lives. And yet, we have this darkness all around us. We have this influence all around us that wants to pull us away from that. We have to conquer that. We have to conquer the fear and the ugliness that's in us. Job showed us in several examples what it was to become of the wicked, those that have allowed the light to go out and the darkness to take over. We can see that real quickly in Job 18 and verse 5. Job 18 and verse 5. Job chapter 18 and verse 5. It says here, "The light of the wicked indeed goes out, and the flame of his fire does not shine. The light is dark in his tent, and his lamp beside him is put out." If you want to read later on, brethren, from verse 7 to the end of the chapter, I'm not going to take the time now, but it goes into more detail about what happens to those who allow their lamp to burn out, who allow their lamp to go out and become more wicked. We have a very special gift from God when he called us and opened our minds to his plan. That knowledge gives us a chance at peace that this world, without it, will never find. It allows us the freedom to avoid spending our days in fear. Psalm 27 verse 1 says, "God is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" For the last scripture, let's turn to 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Brethren, we have been called out of darkness. It doesn't mean we're not going to go through trials. It doesn't mean we're not going to still have to overcome that darkness. We have to remember it's still there. We have to remember it just like the silversmith who works with the silver, who continually fires it to get out the impurities. And God will continue to fire it. He will continue to present trials for us. He will continue to try and bring out that darkness from within us so we can become more like the light. So God can see his reflection in us. We have to, brethren, We have to see this. We have to see with the light that God, through His mercy, has bestowed on us. We have been created in His image as His children to reign with Christ. So I ask you, brethren, I beseech you, I implore you to be strong, to be faithful, and to be willing to come out of the darkness to the path of light that will lead us to the coming kingdom of God. Thank you.